Good morning to each one of you. Greetings in Jesus' name. Today is a beautiful day. And it is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. A day that we celebrate, that we commemorate, that we remember each year. It's a special day of the year. I wanted to look at just a little bit of history of the Passover. So I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 12. And as we read these verses, I want us to think about some of the symbolism and some of the foreshadowing that came about when Jesus walked this earth, when he suffered, when he died, and then when he rose again. Start reading here at chapter 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Let every man according to his eating, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. He shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head and his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it till the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Looking back at the very start of this chapter, it says, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Okay, we're looking at these verses. This first month in the Hebrew calendar was the month of Nisan. And that corresponds with our March or April. And the children of Israel were supposed to go into their flocks, and they were supposed to select a choice lamb. And it says exactly what that lamb was supposed to be. It was supposed to be 1 year old. It was supposed to be a male. It was supposed to be in its prime. And we recognize that typically a one-year-old animal is somewhat in its prime. And then they were to pick this lamb out on the 10th day of this month, and they were to keep it for 4 days until the 14th day. Now, I don't know what you all think, but the excitement of a new pet, a new lamb, a new animal in the house is always high. Everyone wants to see this new lamb. They want to hold it. They want to feed it. They want to play with it. It is a special time for each of the children and also for the family, because as we see the enjoyment of our children, it brings a smile to our face. We like to see our children enjoying this time and looking forward to this, spending time with this pet. And these pets become special to us because we want to care for them. We want to take care of them. And I believe the children of Israel then are just like children today, except maybe they were a little more agrarian or more agricultural society. But I think them, like our children today, they became attached to this special lamb. For 4 days they spent with this lamb close to their house, if not even in their house, running, jumping, frolicking around. And then the 14th day comes, and the day drags on, and it's time for that sacrifice. And so how do you prepare your children for that time when that special pet, that one that has grown close to their heart, how do you prepare your children for that time when that pet needs to be taken care of? It needs to be sacrificed for the good of the family, or even for its own welfare, but we're looking at the good of the family. The firstborn. How do you deal with tears? How do you deal with the crying? Well, it takes time. And you sit down with them, and sometimes you need to hold them or pull them close to you, and you explain the situation to them, one fact after another. And oftentimes you hear, but why? But why do we have to do this? And it takes more explanation, more time. Will they understand? Will they ever like it? And I think the answer to these questions is probably no. They won't maybe understand at that moment. And I would imagine that they probably won't exactly like it. But no matter whether they like it or whether they understand, at that time when God gave those children of Israel instructions, that was something that they had to do if they wanted to be spared. It was either the lamb or the firstborn, the oldest in the family. Which would you choose? None of us would ever choose to allow our firstborn child, our firstborn son, to die and allow that pet, that lamb. We would never choose that lamb to live and that son or brother to die. But I want us to understand that God chose His son over the sinfulness of mankind. He chose to allow His son to suffer so that we might have life everlasting. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God allowed that sacrifice. God gave his gift to mankind that we might be made pure by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Exodus 12, verse 7, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." Let me back up just a little bit. Verse 7, it says, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." They were to take this blood, and I brought this as a little bit of an example. This, of course, is not blood, just symbolic of. But they had to slay that lamb, that special pet, and they had to catch that blood in some type of container. And then they had to take something, I think it was hyssop, and they had to dip it in this blood. And the word strike means to slap or to sprinkle. They had to take that and spread that upon their doorposts and the lintel. And we know that Jesus, it says in Isaiah, he was stricken. He was smitten of men. And then he was nailed to a cruel cross. And we picture this gathering of that blood and sprinkling or striking that blood upon the door as kind of rough and maybe even just a little gross. And yet that is what God desired of his children, that the blood be applied and that there would be a time where he would see that blood applied and that blood covered that family. That blood covered that firstborn. And it was by obedience of this father and this mother and this family. It was by the obedience of just collecting the blood, sacrificing the lamb, and dipping this into that and striking it on the doorposts. It was by the obedience of them following God's commands that the death angel passed over. Verse 8 says, "And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, with bitter herbs they shall eat." They were to take this lamb that was a special part of their home, one that they had drawn out for 4 days, and they were supposed to roast this special lamb over fire. Justin Martyr, one of the early church writers, wrote, "It was prepared by roasting by means of two wooden spits, one perpendicular and the other transverse, which on it was a sort of a cross." And I had not known that until preparing for this message. But this lamb was roasted over a fire on two spits, the shape of a cross. And I also read, as I was studying that wandering shepherds would choose out animals from their flocks. Wandering shepherds would choose out these lambs, and they would roast them in fire, recognizing that they needed to be mobile. They needed to be wandering. And we, as children of God, are wandering through this life. This world is not our home. We are just passing through. But they were supposed to eat of this special lamb. And this pet, now dead, roasted over the fire. This flesh that we considered special. In John, in the New Testament, the book of John, chapter 6, Jesus was speaking, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." Think about that. Jesus, in comparison himself, in comparing himself, says, "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." As these families here in the Passover needed to prepare this lamb as God had instructed them, they needed to prepare this feast as God had instructed them, and needed to be roasted. They needed to have unleavened bread. We likewise, as Jesus shared in this text in John 6, need to partake of the flesh of the Lamb of God. We need to partake of Jesus. We need to feast on Jesus, the precious Lamb of God. They needed to physically eat of this flesh. We need to spiritually consume Christ and His Word, the bread from heaven. This unleavened bread represented, we know that leaven represented sin, and so the bread was free of that leaven. And if you think about that and compare that to the bread of heaven, Jesus Christ, we need to partake of that sinless bread from heaven, Jesus. In verse 9 in our text, it says, "Eat not of it raw nor sodden with water, but roast it with fire, his head and his legs with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire." It's all or nothing. God wanted them to eat it all. And if they didn't eat it all, then he wanted them to burn the rest with fire the next morning. And I don't know if you all remember one of Richard Hurr's quotes about the word all, but that little phrase has stuck with me throughout the years since he has preached here. And they showed it at his memorial, I think, talking to one of his children. One of Richard Hurr's quotes about the word all. All means all, and that's all means. And God wanted them to partake of this meat, and he wanted them to eat it all or nothing. Jesus likewise wants our all. He wants us to be all in. And I want you to think about just a little bit, what would have happened in that home if the children or the father or whoever would have taken that branch of hyssop and dipped it in the blood and only struck the two side posts? Would the death angel have passed on by? I have my doubts. Because I believe what God says God means, and I think that's what we need to stand on, the truth of God's Word. And those children, those fathers, I'm sure they did not want to take any chances and leave anything out for fear of what might happen. Exodus 12, verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Be prepared. Get ready. Be on your toes. And be ready to get a move on. Because Jesus, the Lamb of God, the sinless bread from heaven, wants us to be watching and waiting, always ready. And here in this passage in Exodus, God's instructions to them was to be ready, to be dressed, to have your shoes on, to have your staff in your hand, and eat it in a hurry because it's the Lord's Passover. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will smite all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. This blood as a token. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. And ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. This blood was a symbol of a sacrifice. This blood was a symbol of God's mercy. This blood was applied as a symbol of obedience. The lamb was killed, the blood was shed, and the mercy of God was evidenced by him passing over the house where the blood had been applied. And I don't know if you remember, I would imagine that you do, Brother Delmer, telling the story about the father applying the blood to the doorposts and the lintel, and then sending everyone to bed the night of the Passover and sitting and waiting. And as he's sitting there waiting, the oldest son came back down the steps. And he's worried. And the father takes the son over to the door. And he spends some of that time in explanation. And he says, look, son, the blood has been applied. We have done what God has asked us to do. And now we need to rest and believe. For us today, are we worried about the blood being applied? Or are you confident in your faith, in your commitment? Are you confident that your commitment has gotten you to the place where you can rest without worry, that the blood has been applied? Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, shed His own blood. And so the blood has been applied once for all through Jesus Christ, through God's only Son. The blood has been applied. And now we need to believe. And then we need to rest in that. This past week is a remembrance of the Passion Week. Jesus riding into Jerusalem on an unbroken colt, and them laying their garments on the colt and laying palm trees in the roadway and saying, "Hosanna to the highest." We see the Last Supper and the disciples preparing for that. We see them partaking of that Last Supper. And then we see the betrayal of Judas Iscariot. We see the arrest, the illegal trial and scourging of God's own Son. And then we see the crucifixion. And in the finality of it all, we see that body laid in a borrowed tomb. And for all purposes, in our finite mind, we see the end. We see that slain Son of God laid in a tomb, the one that many people had thought would be the deliverer of His people. But it doesn't stop there. Because today, this Easter morning, is a day that we remember that Jesus arose from the dead. This perfect Lamb of God has power over death, hell, and the grave. And for that, we can say praise God. The children of Israel, they beheld that little lamb and the sacrifice that was needed and the blood that was shed and the blood that was applied and the deliverance that was brought forth. And we see Jesus, "Behold the Lamb." John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." In 1 Peter, it says, "You were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Jesus in His prime, the perfect Lamb of God, the Son of God, that gave Himself that we might live. Behold the Lamb of God. It was very interesting to hear our brother as he shared in the opening announcements, because these are the very words that I closed with in my sermon, the very verses that he read. 1 Corinthians 15, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, may we behold the Lamb that was slain, that we might have life everlasting. And may we hang on to that until our redemption and justification is made permanent. God bless you this Easter morning.